Okay, we're going to get started this morning. We're online. We are in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1, and we probably won't get to verse 2 today. We are teaching on the biblical doctrine of election, and I've made a great effort to go back in the Old Testament and to confirm and show you that that's been God's plan and His choice from the very beginning of time. That before the foundation of the earth, before you were ever born or thought of, you are already settled in the mind of God. It's very hard doctrine to make compatible with our humanism and our way of thinking as a human being because of our fallenness since the fall in the Garden of Eden. So I'm not teaching you this to confuse you. I'm teaching this to you because it is sound biblical doctrine. When God called me to preach and teach, He did not say, "Now you preach and teach what you want to, like you want to, how you want to." I have a mandate from the Lord to preach the word as it is to people as they are. And so that's what I try to do every time I study. I open up the word. First, I see what it says to me. And I make sure I know that what it is saying to me is biblical, scriptural, above everything else. Not something that I would say is right or something that is exact, but something that God says is right. Because after all, that nothing else really matters than what God says. And so in going through this is what I've done. I've taken great pains to go back into the Old Testament and show you this is always the way it has been, even before the foundation of the earth. Now, I got to one point that I finally got to last Sunday on election, the elements of election. And number one was the nature of our election, and that is there in chapter 1, verse 1, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The word chosen is what we have been looking at as He has named God's elect as those who are chosen. And then in chapter 2 of that same book, in verse 9, He goes on to say, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as alien strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires." So He not only goes on to tell us there that we truly are chosen of God, but He goes on to tell us where we don't fit and where we fit in the world in which we live today. He tells us we're aliens. He's telling us that our citizenship isn't here, that we're only here temporary, that our citizenship is in heaven itself. And so we are, and I asked you this question and we went over it last Sunday, we don't fit in the culture and the world that we find ourselves in, because we are of a different kingdom, a different world. Therefore, we feel like aliens in a world in which we do not fit. And so that is to be expected. If I asked all of you, how do you like the world you live in today? I don't think somebody would raise their hand and say, well, I'm tickled to death. It's the way it is. If you're really a Christian, if you've really been born again, you don't like the way it is. And that is the way it should be. And so we looked at that last week. Now then, I'm going to the book of Acts, chapter 15. Back to the book of Acts, chapter 15. And by the way, if you have a question, let me know about it so I can address it. And remind me if you ask a question online for me to repeat the question, because the people online cannot hear what you're asking. And so that way they know what's going on. They don't feel left out. And I welcome everybody that's watching online today to our morning Bible study here in the Lord's house. All right, now I'm in the book of Acts, chapter 15 and verse 14. In the book of Acts. Let me begin in verse 13 of chapter 15. When they finished, James, and what is this? This is called the Council of Jerusalem. The apostles are all meeting together, and they're having this discussion, and they're having this discussion about how the gospel has gone out to the Gentiles, and is it the same salvation, the same thing that we find here among the Jews that have been called out? And so that's what's going on here. And he says in verse 13, well, I'm going back to verse 12. The whole assembly, see, that's what it is, became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles, you see, through them. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles what? A people for himself. A people for himself. You see, this is what's going on. God is taking out. Now, we're in a place today called the church age. We're in the church age. The church age started with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it will continue until the second return of Christ on earth, or in the rapture. And as it does that, we're in what's called the church age today. Well, what is God doing in the church age today? Exactly what he did in the Old Testament. Exactly what he will continue to do in the New Testament. This is how God has predetermined that his will be carried out. He is calling out for himself a people that will be obedient and thankful and praise Jesus Christ. And that's what we see when we look at the scripture here. And that's how God's whole plan is to take out of a people to choose a people. Our fallenness and our pride wants to work against that, resist that. Because in our pride and our flesh, we feel like we should be the choice. We should have the choice. And I'm going to give you five reasons at least why that's wrong. If I get to it today, okay? Kevin says I go too slow. All right, now we're going to Matthew chapter 20. One reason I do probably go too slow, but I do it on purpose, is to make sure I bring everybody with me. We're all at different stages in doctrine. How's Charlie?
A little better. He said he's going to try to come tonight.
Well, are the places drying up?
No, he got 5 blisters last night.
He did. Okay. Sorry, online, but her husband has been in the hospital with this blisters broke out all over his body, very sick, And I visited him the other day, had prayer with him, and I was interested to know how he was doing now. That's why I asked that question. He's better. Pray for Charlie Parr. All right? Everybody online, pray for Charlie Parr. Okay. All right. Now then, in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, there is a parable of the workers in the vineyard. But actually what this parable is about is election. And you'll see it now that we've studied what we have when we go through it. You'll see that. Okay? So we're in chapter 20, beginning in the first verse of the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like, okay, a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again the sixth hour and ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "What have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "And because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. "But you have made them look at this. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." And he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. If you've been saved 40 years or 10 minutes, it doesn't matter. Heaven's your home.
Amen.
If you're saved at church or on the deathbed, heaven is your home. And some might say, "Well, I've served the Lord for 50 years, and this man just got saved. That doesn't seem fair." Right? Doesn't seem fair. God says, "Who's doing this? Me or you? I will reward you equally." So what did he do? He went out and found and called out a people to work in his vineyards. And when they went out and worked in his vineyards, he rewarded them, the last as much as the first. And he said, "What does that matter to you? I'm the one that's rewarding them." And so we have a parable here of the workers in the vineyard that shows us a picture of what election is all about, in that God has gone out into the world. He has called out a people for his son, who will praise and worship him throughout the ages of the ages of the ages, no matter if they were saved 150 years ago or in the last 10 minutes. Because he is generous, he is gracious, and he is good.
Amen.
And so I wanted to show you this, because many times we don't understand this. And I've got some things here I want to say again, because it says it better than I said it, okay? He says, the whole parable all the way down to the bottom, he picked out who he wanted and rewarded them with eternal life. That's the essence of the parable. Very simply, he selected them, didn't he? He selected them, that's the first thing. Second thing, what did he do? He called them into service, didn't he? He called them into service. Third thing he did, what did he do then? He sent them out to serve. He sent them out to serve. What's the next thing he did? He rewarded them fairly, faithfully, and generously. And such is the doctrine of election. And so we get a picture of that there. Now let's go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 15.
Brother Jack, what was number 3 again? Did you say the third thing?
Sent them out to serve.
Thank you.
Sent them out to serve. Everybody get to 3 or 4, whatever. You didn't ask me, I'll tell you. Thank you. Okay, John 15:16. John chapter 15 and verse 16. This is Jesus speaking, pretty good authority. He's speaking to his apostles, and this is what he said, very, very plainly. For you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Why did he choose and appoint them to do? To go and bear fruit, That will last. And so we find here with the apostle, we find the same theme, the same plan, the same thing running through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation concerning everything that God is doing. Everything that God is doing. The calling out of his apostles, the calling out of the church, the calling out of the workers in the vineyard, the calling out of the prophets in the Old Testament, the calling out of everyone from Genesis to Revelation, you find the same thing no matter where you go. John chapter 17, verse 9. This is Jesus' prayer. Look what he says, verse 9. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have what? You have given me. I'm not praying for the world. I am praying for those you have given me. Well, who gave them to him? The Father. The Father gave them to him. If you're saved today, the Father gave you to Christ. And by the time we get through all this, you're going to find out that there's two main reasons that the Father gave you to Christ: for obedience and glory. God gave you to Christ that you might worship Him, praise Him throughout the ages of the ages of the ages of the ages to the glory of God the Father. When the Son presents you to the Father, absolutely spotless and blameless in heaven, the glory all goes to Him. So I want you to see these different places in the Scripture. Right now I'm going to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Acts 13, 48. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. All who were what?
Appointed
for what? Okay. All who were appointed for eternal life believe. Now, I didn't have this in my notes, but I got to thinking about it on the way driving over here. I do think sometimes. And I was thinking about over here in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians. There it is. Chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians. No, chapter 2, I'm sorry. Chapter 2 in the book of Ephesians. I was thinking about this when I was... No. I forgot what I was thinking about. Oh, I know. I'll go to this one next. Chapter 2. Verse 8, we'll begin there. Chapter 2, verse 8 in the book of Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And then what does it say? This is not from yourselves. This is not something you could do. Okay, this is not something of yourself. This is not something you do. But it is the gift of God. Okay? Not by works, so that no one can boast. Now here, 10. Well, why were you saved? What was the purpose in God's mind sending you out into his vineyard to do what? Okay. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now notice what it said. Which God prepared, and that prepared in the King James, I believe, says ordained. Which God ordained or prepared when? In advance for us to do. In advance for us to do. So what I find then is that this is... When I read Scripture, and after I read Scripture, I say, "What is it saying to me? I want to know what the Scripture's saying to me, because it's God speaking to me. When you read Scripture, you're reading God's Word to you. So when I read Scripture and I study Scripture, I say, "Well, what is God saying to me? Well, God is saying to me." That it was no accident that I was saved. God is saying to me that it was no accident my family wasn't killed in Smithland Lock and Dam. God is saying to me it is no accident that I was a senior pastor at Waldo Baptist Church. He's saying to me that it is no accident that I'm still alive today and teaching. That this was predetermined before I was ever born. Go back to Ephesians, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to understand, remember now, you are God's treasured possession. That's hard for me to grasp when I look in the mirror, believe me. But you are God's treasured possession. And he chose you before the foundation of the earth. All right. Now then. So what did God do in that parable that we just read about when he went out to... Did he go out and seek to find the workers?
Yes.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Okay, now we're going to the thing I thought of when I was driving over here this morning. Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 11, or we could begin in verse 10. We'll begin in verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Now look, verse 11. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Okay. So this is what is our mission?
To know God and make Him known.
To know God and to make Him known. When we make Him known, we are God's witness and testimonies on this earth, and we have been given a mandate to make disciples, to share the gospel wherever we are. Okay? So when we share the gospel on this mission that God has sent us on, working as workers in the vineyard, and someone seeks God, truly, truly seeks God, we can say, this is not them, this is God. Because Scripture plainly says no one can seek God. No one seeks God. So when our mission is to share the gospel. Our mission when we share the gospel, when we see someone seeking God, is to pray for them, help them, lead them, guide them, because we can say, this must be a God thing. Are you with me? You see? So actually, our outlook, our mission, and our work hasn't changed at all when you look at election. Our mission, our outlook, and our work is exactly the same as you would have thought it to be before. We are to share the gospel. We are to reach the nations. We are to be a witness before mankind in this world. And when someone absolutely responds to the gospel in faith and seeks God as Lord and Savior in their life, we can say, aha, this is a God thing. I want you to grasp that. Because we have a tendency when we learn the doctrine of election to go the other way, when it should drive us further this way, to know God and to make Him known. Because I know when I, as a pastor, are witnessing to someone about Christ, and I see that light come on in their head that hadn't been there before, they might have joined the church. They might have been sprinkled. They might have been baptized. They might have prayed a prayer sometime. But that light's never come on their head before. I know what? There is no one who understands. So if they now understand, this is a God thing. And now they are seeking out that which they understand. I say, now I'm excited. Because I'm a part of something that I'm not doing, but God is doing. I want you to grasp that. You become part of something that God is actually doing right before your eyes. Four weeks. Okay. Oh, me. I'm going to try to get through this other one. Acts chapter 13. Oh. Acts chapter 13. Let's see. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them today, we had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what God has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when, now notice this, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Same thing, same thing, same thing. As we go through all of Scripture, I'm going to show you this. And now, I ain't got time to get any further, really. Somebody said, well, how many notes do you carry when you teach? I got 16 pages here. And I've got through half of them in 3 sessions. I'll get to that tonight. Has anybody got a question? I just want you to. I guess what I want to do is to go through Scripture, show you that this is God's plan, predetermined before the foundation of the earth. You were in the mind and heart of God before He ever created anything. You are precious in His sight. At that point, before He ever created anything, He chose to put His love on you. He chose to make you precious. He chose to give you His grace. He chose to pour out His mercy on you. Well, you say, well, why? To obey and praise and glorify His Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the ages of the ages of the ages of the ages of the ages. That you, the precious possession of Christ, might look at this and say, how great is our God. How great is our God. Okay? And we'll pick up there tonight. Okay? All right. Anybody got a question?
Brother Jack?
Yes, sir.
I believe Barbara Rohr goes tomorrow for her test.
Okay.
So we need to remember her in prayer.
And we're offline now, John.